Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 9th, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On the site today at ProWrestling.net, you will find a rare Vince McMahon interview. WWE's chairman of the board spoke with Brian Fritz of BetweenTheRopes.com. He was representing the Orlando Sentinel in the interview. Vince and Brian got together at the press conference for WrestleMania 33 in Orlando. They discussed a variety of topics, including Shane McMahon's return, Vince's take on the so-called pro wrestling dirt sheets, WWE developmental, John Cena's injury, WrestleMania, Triple H and Stephanie's work behind the scenes. Very excited to tell you that .NET members will be hearing Brian Fritz, who conducted this interview with Vince McMahon. Later today, he will join me on the .NET Weekly audio show. Brian is a longtime friend of the site, and certainly not the first time he's been on .NET Weekly. You've heard him here on the All Access side as well, and I'm looking forward to getting together with him because I want to know some things. I want to know about the setting. I want to know about Vince's demeanor. Did it change at all when certain questions were asked? I want to know if there are any questions deemed off limits. I want to know all sorts of things about this interview, and it's always good to get together with Brian, and we'll kind of go over some of the more interesting answers that Vince gave. I want to get Brian's perspective on those. If you want to know the scoop like I do, then sign up for membership today to ProWrestling.net, and you will have those answers a little bit later on this afternoon via the .NET Weekly audio show. Membership rates start as low as $5.50 a month if you take our annual option, and you can sign up for the monthly rate of $7.50 per month. All the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. Just look for the sign-up area. Very simple sign-up process. Won't take you long at all, and you will have access later today to the .NET Weekly Show, along with all the other perks of membership to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. One of the things we do on the member side of is we review all the television shows in full-length form, and today I want to give you a sample of that by getting into my TNA Impact Wrestling on Pop TV review. Again, normally this is something I do every week exclusively for the members, but wanted to give you a taste of that. And what I do is kind of skim through my report on the show last night and offer some commentary as well. We do this, I do it on Monday nights following WWE Raw, usually go about 40 to 50 minutes on Raw. We do it for Impact. Coming up on Thursday, we'll be hearing Zach Zimmerman's audio review of the NXT show. We'll be hearing Will Pruitt's audio review of Lucha Underground. Hayden Gleed and Darren Gutteridge get together for the Ring of Honor television show. So if you enjoy reviews of the television shows, not just a recap of what happened, but some actual commentary on it, then I know you will enjoy ProWrestling.net membership. All right, let's get into this. This show was taped last month in Birmingham, England at the, I'm going to butcher this name, Barclay Card Arena? How's that? All right, go ahead and laugh at me, Brits. Dixie Carter stood in the ring and introduced Kurt Angle as the best wrestler in the history of our sport. Long story short here, she raved about Kurt Angle. This was Angle's final appearance for TNA. This was scheduled to be his final match with the company, and so they had a kind of a ceremony for him at the beginning of the show and then closed it with his match with Lashley. And so after Dixie puts over Angle, he makes his entrance. Dixie spoke more to Angle about how she'll never forget how they shocked the world when he arrived. She said that Angle set the bar high, not just for TNA, but the entire industry. Drew Galloway comes out. No music here. He just, I don't know if they did in the arena, but on the television show, he just kind of appeared in the ring and just spoke about how being in the ring with Angle is like being in a master's class. And he spoke about, he hugged Angle at that point, and then Kurt spoke about being a better husband, father, and wrestler. He thanked Dixie and the TNA roster for letting him work in TNA, and he thanked the fans, said he loves them all, and he's the luckiest man on the planet. Out comes Lashley, and this was interesting, of course, because Lashley has been telling Kurt that he can see in his eyes that he can't take him. He knows that he can't beat Lashley. Well, Lashley thanked Angle. He was very complimentary initially, and he talked about how it's going to be a rough day, but it's also an opportunity for everyone in the arena to see Kurt's last match. Said it's an amazing honor for him to have the opportunity to wrestle the man who got him into the business. And he said, for that, I'd say thank you. And Lashley said that based on the look in Kurt's eyes, however, he's not ready to wrestle him. He dropped the mic, left the ring, and Angle was showing some concern at this point. And then we just got the broadcast team of Josh Matthews and D'Angelo De Niro, the Pope, hyping some upcoming segments for the show, and they went to a commercial. Really good opening segment. One thing TNA has done very well is the Kurt Angle retirement tour. They've done a great job with this. It hasn't been a huge part of every show, but it has been a part of every show with backstage clips and things of that nature. The matches that they have featured were good. I like the way that Kurt didn't just win every single match on his way out the door. We'll get into more of that once we get through the main event. But they really did a nice job of just setting the tone for this and making it feel like it was a big deal that Kurt Angle was leaving TNA. They didn't answer the obvious questions of why is he leaving, where is he going next, any of that. They weren't asking those questions, but it's okay. I really didn't expect them to, but I think everyone involved deserves some praise for the way this whole thing was handled. And I like the genuine emotion from Dixie, from Kurt, and you always get the feeling that Drew Galloway, no matter how cheesy he's being, is being sincere. He's very good at that, and I'm sure in this case he was being sincere. Lashley, very good too. I think that he is so much better off as a heel. He just kind of has this quirkiness to him. He's not very comfortable with the mic in hand and the camera in front of him, but I think some of that awkwardness kind of comes off as him being unstable when he's a heel, and it works. He's just not the nervous, uptight babyface who's, oh my God, there's a camera in front of me. Now there's just a little bit, he's a little more relaxed, I think, as a heel, and it's just that awkwardness really does click. The first match, the King of the Mountain match, oh God, make it stop. Eric Young ended up beating Jimmy Havoc, Will Ospreay, Big Damo, and Bram to retain in about 6 minutes and 40 seconds. They brought in Ospreay, and, he's, I think the idea is that they wanted to do more with him, and then they found out that he was going to New Japan. I say get what you can out of him. I mean, you don't need to feature him as a complete star, but get more than a King of the Mountain match out of the guy. And Jimmy Havoc has been the guy who was he was trying to get back Rosemary from Decay, and it almost felt like that was out the window. So a little bit inconsistent here. I mean, if there's one thing I would drop from this show, believe it or not, it's not Grado. It's this King of the Mountain match. The broadcast team always has to try to explain the ridiculous number of rules they have in this match. You've got to pin someone to qualify. There's a penalty box. You can go. You got to climb up the ladder and hang the title belt. It's just a bad match. And I mean, I'm not even a big fan of the King of the Mountain title. I've made that very clear. But it was okay when it looked like it was just going to kind of be another singles title, might be more of an open challenge thing, but now they're bringing back the King of the Mountain match. Just go away. What a horrible, horrible concept. They were showing footage throughout the evening of some of Angle's bigger moments, including him beating Samoa Joe at Genesis in 2006. Still makes me angry watching this, just knowing that TNA had something special with Angle and Joe, and they burned through it so quickly. Not that this wasn't a big moment when it happened, but they burned through that program so quickly, and I'm sure it irritates both wrestlers even, and ideally a number of people that are still with TNA just scratching their heads going, what happened? How did we do this? Backstage, we had Maria kind of big-timing Dixie Carter, telling her that she feels like she could be an asset by having a leadership role in the Knockouts division, and she said that Dixie could call her assistant and they could have a chit-chat. And she also was trying to tell Dixie to keep an open mind to what Mike Bennett, her husband, was going to say to her later in the show. Dixie said she likes both Maria and Bennett, but she believes in actions more than words. We got the Decay video. I praise it. It's well done. I don't know that I need to see it as much as TNA showing it now. Last night was the first time where I felt like, yeah, it was cool the first few times, and now you're kind of running it into the ground. I would pull back a little bit on that. I wouldn't show it. I don't think you need to show it every single week. It's just one of those things that if you see too much of it, what was once cool just kind of becomes almost channel-changing material because, like, yeah, I know. I've seen this. It was cool. Not so much anymore. From there, we went to Mike Bennett and Maria delivering an in-ring promo, and Bennett was ragging on Kurt Angle for cheap-shotting him on his way out the door, and he said he will be named number one contender to the TNA Championship, and he said that he will complete his mission of saving the company and all of pro wrestling, and he called for Dixie to come out and make the miracle happen. Dixie didn't come out. Good. Because I was like, all right, really? We got Dixie in one segment. We got her backstage. We're going to get her again? No, we got Drew Galloway. And by the way, they've done a nice job of pulling back on how many times they're showing Dixie Carter on television, which is a good thing. There's a place for her. And you could argue that she doesn't belong on television whatsoever. But if you're going to feature her, do it when it counts. And so far this year, they've done a nice job with that. Galloway comes out. He's got the Feaster Fired briefcase. And the broadcast team was quick to say that he was robbed in his match against Bennett. And he ended up telling Bennett he should do a little more fighting and a little less running his mouth like a little bitch. And the and then he looked at Maria and said, "Speaking of which, of course Bennett didn't like that, and the crowd was chanting 'little bitch,' and Galloway was laughing over that. Bennett said that it's funny hearing Galloway claim that TNA isn't a charity when he begged Kurt Angle for a rematch, and that's the only way he was able to even things up and on the farewell tour with Angle. He said Galloway carries around a briefcase he won in a weird game show segment, and he said that is another example of TNA being a charity." Wow. And very true. I mean, when you think it's a he was one of four people to pull down the briefcase. I don't even remember who was first. You would think, like, okay, if he was first, then maybe you could make the case that he won it. Even so, it's not a great way to determine who gets a title shot. But still, he pulls down a briefcase, and then the concept is feast or fired. You open it and you get a title shot, or you get fired. It's another bad TNA gimmick. There's a lot of good things happening in TNA. Their decision to bring back Feast or Fired and King of the Mountain matches are not among them. Bennett told Galloway to go get Dixie for him. Galloway said he could do that, but then he punched Bennett instead. And Galloway ended up clearing the Miracle from the ring. And Bennett was upset that Galloway ruined his moment. I thought Bennett came off better here. We're not. There's something about the whole Miracle act that just kind of feels empty. Just the character. It isn't clicking with me the way I hoped it would when they said they were going to make a big fuss out of Mike Bennett, and he's a huge free agent signing. But I think he is becoming a little more comfortable with it. I think he is figuring out what parts of this work and what don't. I like that he's being a little, mixed emotions on him being a little aggressive when it comes to some of TNA, you know, that calling them a charity and things like that. I think that is going to get some attention of people who follow the industry closely. And, you know, as far as, like, fans, they're going to go, ooh. And then, but at the same time, I don't know that you want to run TNA down. So it's tough. At least he's a heel doing it. I will say that. But there, I mean, some of the things he's complaining about, it's like, how can, even if he's a heel, you've got to be like, yeah, he's absolutely right. We got footage of Angle winning King of the Mountain. That god-awful match at a Slammiversary in 2007. Then we had a backstage segment with the Wolves and Angle. The Wolves were raving about Angle, and then Davey talked about using Kurt's ankle lock, and Kurt said that the move was given to him by Ken Shamrock, and he said Richards can use it. He told him to go ahead and kick Beer Money's asses, and then he would teach Richard some moves with the ankle lock. So kind of passing the torch, if you will, as far as the ankle lock is concerned, to Davey Richards. Unfortunately, other than on this show, we're not going to see Davey using that move anytime soon. Then we ended up with a commercial break. When we came back, it was Gail Kim pinning Jade to retain the TNA Knockouts title in 6:30. I didn't care for this just because, now, I mean, the finish was that Gail goes for a crossbody, Jade rolls through, but then Gail rolls her over again to get the win. And Josh Matthews was quick to try to make it seem like anyone could have won this. I didn't feel that way watching it. It wasn't like such a hard-fought battle that it left you wanting to see more. You know, it wasn't Holly Holm and Misha Tate from UFC or anything like that. It's like, no, Gail kind of won fair and square. And the problem with this is that Gail has been so dominant this year. She's just plowed through everyone. She's beaten up the Dollhouse single-handedly in three-on-one situations. And they really don't have a strong number one contender. And I thought they were making Jade that person. But now that she's lost this, it kind of feels like a step back. It's not the end of the line for Jade. It doesn't have to be. But I just didn't care for how easily Gail Kim plowed through yet another opponent. A nice little thing that TNA does, they showed us backstage shots of the Wolves and Beer Money as Matthews was hyping their match going into the commercial. Pay attention, Ring of Honor. WWE does it. TNA does it. They do it in MMA, boxing. Ring of Honor on their television show. Nope, here's the main event. It's just thrown out there. It's an ongoing criticism, and I'm going to keep harping on it until they do something about it. We ended up with the recap of the Rockstar Spud and EC3 fight from the week before. Matthews hyped that EC3 would challenge Matt Hardy for the TNA title next week. Ugh. I'll get to that in a second, because we did get a Matt Hardy interview, and he talked about how it was a travesty that EC3 was getting the title shot, questioned how much whining he did to get that shot, and he said EC3 can't beat him, and he will defeat him next week for the third time. Okay, I like that they had Matt there to protest. Matt just told us, I think, was it last week or the week before, he's done with EC3. He had his title shot. He's moving on. He'll never. It must have been last week, because I think the title match was 2 weeks ago. He's done with him. You know, and there was the heel. Obviously, when he's won, it was he went crazy in the match to beat him and brought in a hammer and all sorts of other weapons. And as Matt likes to point out, None of it was illegal because of the style of match, but still, it was very heelish. And then he won. The only reason he beat EC3 in the rematch was because Rockstar Spud basically paid tribute to the Freebirds by slamming the cage door on EC3's head. And so I get that there's a need for a rematch, but I don't want to see them burn through this match. I don't want to see them burn through this feud between Matt Hardy and EC3. And when Matt Hardy said he was done with them, I'm like, good. EC3 is going to have to kind of work his way back up, and you hold off on that match, and you make people want to see the rematch. And there's going to be people that are like, oh, cool, you know, I'm seeing this match again. But it's not a money match. And even though they're basically a television promotion, you know, they still have pay-per-views, kind of. I mean, I don't even count the One Night Only series. But, you know, I'm sure if everything goes as planned, I'm sure they'll still have Bound for Glory and things like that. I sit on this. Even if it is just a TV thing, you want to build ratings. You make people want to see that match. You don't just give it to them when they're kind of lukewarm about it. That's what frustrates me. And it's not like TNA doesn't have any other potential contenders for this title. I think you could give Matt Hardy, have him do the gimmick where he's working against some of the underlings and making it seem like it's a big deal that, you know, he's beating some of the X Division guys, or just, you know, it gives Tigre Udo and Mandrew something to do. Matt Hardy's beating them and acting like it's you know, these major accomplishments that he's winning, and that way you're just putting heat on Matt Hardy. EC3, meanwhile, is beating people, and you're just building to this showdown match that you know is inevitable. You just don't know when you're getting it, and so that I'm disappointed, but we'll see what they do. I mean, for all we know, somebody's going to be attacked. The match won't even happen. But I did kind of cringe when I saw they were going with that when they issued that announcement on Tuesday. The third match of the night was Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards losing the TNA tag titles to Beer Money, Bobby Roode and James Storm. Unfortunately, Davey Richards suffered a torn ACL. He was coming off the top rope, and he jumped into basically a code breaker from James Storm. I can't remember what James Storm calls it, if he even has a name for it. But he landed a bit awkwardly on that knee. You could kind of see it just bend in an awkward way, and that was it. He rolled to ringside. He was done. He ended up being helped to the back later. And, we've since learned, of course, that he suffered a torn ACL, has undergone surgery, and is going to be sidelined 6 to 9 months. I know he said in an interview that he kind of laughs at the idea of 6 to 9 months. We'll see. If you're a Seth Rollins fan, I'm guessing you were happy to read that, going, oh, good, maybe Seth will be back before 6 to 9 months as well. But it's obviously unfortunate. There is something about the TNA tag titles, boy. If somebody gets those tag titles, and even when they're dropping them like the Wolves did, injuries seem to occur. It's a strange thing. I even talked with Davey about that in an interview here on the All Access side at one point, whether it felt like the tag titles were cursed, and of course, he said no. I'm guessing they're not either, but I wonder if he feels any differently after this one. What a shame. Hopefully, TNA is going to do right by Eddie Edwards, because there have been stretches where I think Richards and Edwards have both missed time with injuries now, and they really haven't done anything with either guy as a singles act. And I'm not saying you need to make them a huge... If your plans are to make them to reform the tag team as soon as Richards gets back, okay, but it doesn't mean you just need to waste Eddie Edwards in the meantime in completely meaningless matches. He's a guy that could be facing Matt Hardy. And kind of the scenario I talked about earlier, I wouldn't say he's certainly bigger than Mandrews and Tigre Uno. As far as like, I wouldn't treat it like, you know, Matt Hardy plows through Eddie Edwards, but maybe he beats those guys and then Eddie Edwards really pushes him. You can get 2-3 weeks out of Eddie Edwards, former Ring of Honor champion, challenging Matt Hardy and kind of a side program, just to kind of buy some time before getting back to that whole EC3 thing. Long story short, whatever they do with Edwards, I hope it's not just, oh, he's single, let's just throw him in these goofy matches and have him put people over left and right. The match itself was good. A couple of things I didn't like about it. One, you had Beer Money doing that spot where one ends up with the other in like DDT position, I think it was, and it's a really contrived spot when baby faces do it to heels, but when baby faces do it to baby faces, where it's like the opponent ends up being the guy that causes one tag partner to DDT the other. I don't know if it's a clothesline spot. I can't remember what it is, or Russian leg sweep, that sort of thing. It just looks really hokey. It's like I say, it's bad enough when it's babyface is doing it to heels, but at least you can kind of get a chuckle out of it. That's kind of what I think the crowd. I don't. That's my reaction when I see it, even when it's babyface, and that combined with Beer Money both ending up in simultaneous submission holds to one man, kind of made them look like the Keystone Cops. It's something I would expect Beer Money to do if they were heels, but not in a babyface versus babyface showdown match. It just felt a little out of place. Of course, they win the titles. Now they can, even with the Wolves sideline, TNA does have other tag teams, most notably Decay. They can definitely do something with them. One problem is, like, the only other real tag team that comes to mind as far as, like, strong potential heel contenders would be Eric Young and Bram. But Beer Money just beat them in a cage match, so that's unfortunate. But hopefully they are going to have a really good long program with Decay. It's on TNA Creative to stretch this out for a while. That's one of my concerns about TNA right now, is that they're burning through things a little quicker than I think they should. Hopefully they have this mapped out and they're not sitting here 3 months from now going, now what? Man, we really raced through things. We had footage of Kurt Angle being inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame in one of those Angle clips. And then we had Lashley telling Drew Galloway backstage that there's going to be a new top dog after tonight. And he says, it's not you. You're not ready for it. So Lashley just more confident than ever and just delivers it in a way where, yeah, again, you believe something's not right with this guy. He's a little bit off in his delivery. If he's a babyface saying it again, you're just looking at him like, wow, this is just a bad promo. As a heel, he just looks kind of, looks and sounds a little off when he says it, and it really works. They went to a commercial break, and when they came back, we had Matthew setting up some video clips of fans issuing comments about Kurt Angle that apparently they had sent in. Then we had Mike Bennett backstage telling Angle, everything in life happens for a reason, and everything Lashley does to him is what Angle deserves. And he said Angle could have wrestled him, and he blew his chance. And he said that if Angle ever gets an itch and wants to scratch it, he'll be waiting for him in TNA. And Angle then said, Bennett, better hope he never comes back or it will get damn real. Okay, I like that Bennett is getting a little exchange with Angle again. Not so crazy about the retirement show. Angle kind of leaving the door open, if I ever do come back. That was a little, no, I didn't need to see that. Not on the retirement, not when you're about to sell me on this is Angle's last match. Even if it turns out Angle never goes back to TNA, never has another match there, never faces Bennett, you still kind of planted that seed. And when it comes to pro wrestling and retirements, people naturally kind of like, oh, okay, this isn't real. It's pro wrestling. I mean, it's just become laughable, unless it's at WrestleMania. And even then, people are still skeptical. Anyway, we go to Grado running out, taking a microphone from Jeremy Borash. This whole thing doesn't make sense. There's like, why wouldn't security just immediately mob him? But if you can turn your brain off a little bit for Grado, it's getting a little bit more entertaining. I've been kind of slow to this. I've had other people tell me that they actually get a kick out of what Grado is doing. I haven't, but slowly but surely, I'm warming up to the guy. I just don't think they introduced him in a way where it didn't click with me, and I don't think other people did either. I think it's this year where people are starting to warm up to it a little bit on this pop TV era. Some of the things he's doing, but he said something was fishy about the way his whole feast or fired thing. He ended up getting the fired briefcase, so he's supposed to be fired. That's why it's odd that he was able just to grab the mic from Jeremy Borash. He said he had proof. He had a friend named Kenny in the video truck and wanted him to play the footage to prove that he was screwed. Well, Kenny must be a dick, because Eli Drake's entrance video and music played, and he came out. We never saw the video. So they have no problem kind of burning through Matt Hardy and EC3 and some of these, and Gail Kim and Jade and some of the other things they kind of feel like they're burning through. But man, are they taking their sweet ass time with Grado. But long story short here on this, because, well, it's Eli Drake and Jesse Godders and Grado, and best of all, Mahabali Shera. Godders and Drake ended up beating up Grado. Shera comes out for the save, and Drake ended up striking both baby faces with his briefcase. Grado ducks a briefcase shot and then hits Godders, Drake hit Godders instead. Grado performs a diamond cutter on Eli, and then he picks up Eli's briefcase, the one that I think the idea is that Grado should have had in the first place, and ran away with it. So now Grado is in possession of the King of the Mountain title contract. I don't know the rules of Feast or Fired. I don't think anyone does. I don't think that just because he has this, he gets a title shot. I don't know why. I mean, it doesn't make any sense if that's what they were. I don't think they were implying that. I guess he just stole a briefcase. And if I'm Eli Drake, I'd just be like, okay, yeah, you guys know that I won the briefcase, so can I just have my title shot and let him keep the stupid briefcase? But I have a feeling we're going to get a lot more with this. Josh Matthews hyped the return of Jeff Hardy. He's going to be facing Eric Young. From a storyline standpoint, makes sense. Young is the guy that put him out with, you know, the, well, the annual Jeff Hardy injury angle to explain why he's not on the UK tour. Did he pile drive him through a table? I think that's what it was. So they will have their match next week, and then we'll get that Matt Hardy and EC3 match. We had a nice Kurt Angle video, and then it also included some comments from TNA agents. I always list him as Simon Diamond, but Pat Kenny, Shane Helms, and Al Snow just raving about Kurt, and then a graphic at the end read, "Thank you, Kurt." Then it was main event time. We got the entrances. We had Jeremy Borash delivering the in-ring introductions. One of the things Josh Matthews has done recently is start calling Kurt Angle Captain America, which really fits, and it's a name that I always liked that the UFC used for Randy Couture. I think Joe Rogan probably dubbed him that, and it really fits for Kurt Angle, and with Couture now having been away for so long, I'm kind of surprised that that transition wasn't made sooner. I don't know if Marvel would approve. I'm not sure how that works, but I liked it. After they went to a commercial break, and they came back, and it was match time. Brian Hebner was the referee for this, and I liked that Josh Matthews was quick to tell us that they had taken their last commercial break, and they were staying with this match until it ended. And it's a little thing. Now, granted, TNA pretty much, I think it was week one, they had an overrun, but most weeks, and I think every other week, they've ended right at the top of the hour. But I like that they're just kind of sending that message, and I'm not encouraging them to go long. They may have that flexibility with Pop. If you can get it so that DVRs are set up, now it kind of tells people it's happening, but not everyone tapes the show, they just turn it on. Okay, cool. But the reason I'm kind of, you might not want to go long is you're going to have a lot of people who are DVRing the show who are going to miss it. But I just like they're kind of telling you that, yeah, we're staying with this without even saying, even if it runs long, we're staying with this. And I like that. No more commercial breaks. You don't have to worry about that. You're going to see this match from start to finish. Very cool touch. Good match here. I like this a lot. Really, I've liked all the Kurt Angle retirement tour matches. Or the farewell tour, I should say, because he's not retiring. He's already advertised for a match with Rey Mysterio. He's just his TNA farewell. By the way, I also like that Josh brought up Lashley's MMA record. It'd be different if Lashley was like, 6-8 or something like that, but I think he said he's 14-2, I believe, which sounds impressive. And the match itself, though, the finish of this, you had Lashley putting Angle down with a spine buster. The crowd was definitely behind Angle and booing Lashley, and then he speared Angle for a two count. He goes for another spear. Angle avoids that, rolls him into an ankle lock, and he grapevines it. I hate the Kurt Angle ankle lock unless he grapevines it. Just watch that little dumb tug that he does. Like, why wouldn't you really wrench the hell out of it? No, he just kind of gives a little tug, little mini wrench. But when he grapevines, like, oh, sweet, he did that in the Rude match, and that's how he won that match. And I thought that was that's a really nice touch. So many great things Angle does, but the ankle lock has just never been one of them. But Lashley eventually broke free and kicked Kurt, kicked Angle off of him, and then dodged him as he charged and ended up spearing Angle to get the win. So Lashley wins in 11 minutes, and then afterward they have a nice embrace, and I'm like, oh no, this is going to be the bit where Lashley just kind of drops character because it's Kurt's farewell. He raises the arm of Angle and then punches him in the face. And I'm like, yes, good, perfect. And Josh Matthews played it up by saying, what the hell was that? Lashley speared Angle. The crowd's really booing at this point. Then he tosses the referee to ringside. Drew Galloway runs out. Lashley backs into a corner and kind of holds his arms up like, all right, all right. Galloway goes to take care of Angle. Then he turns back to scold Lashley some more. But as he does, there's Lashley with the spear. Eddie Edwards comes out. He takes a spear. Finally, Lashley ended up spearing Kurt Angle one more time, and then EC3's music plays, and he makes a slow walk to the ring, and then once he's there, EC3 and Lashley just kind of have a stare down, and Lashley ended up leaving the ring without any kind of a physical confrontation with EC3, and he's smiling. And Matthew said, it was supposed to be a celebration of the career of Angle, but Lashley took it upon himself to put everyone on notice, and to take out a man he once considered a friend. Okay, again, really nice send-off match for Kurt Angle. I love that it wasn't just let's drop our characters, even though I've been a heel going into this, you're leaving, and so that makes that's more important. We can ditch the personas to have a moment at the end. No, Lashley stayed true to his character. He attacked Kurt Angle. They used Kurt Angle's departure to put heat on Lashley and to give Lashley more credibility by avenging the previous loss to Angle. And they did a really nice job throughout of Angle's farewell tour of doing that. Yes, he beat Drew Galloway at one point, but Galloway also got that win back. He did beat Bobby Roode. Roode didn't get the win back. Roode doesn't need it. Roode's in a tag team. It's not that big of a deal. And it was a competitive match, and Roode covered it really nicely by immediately afterward, still in the ring on the mic saying, hey, no shame in losing to the best wrestler on the planet. There was no harm done to Bobby Roode by losing to Kurt Angle the way he did. And then, of course, he also lost to Matt Hardy. If I recall, Matt cheated somehow, some way. And then he puts over Lashley. So I think the wins over Galloway combined with the competitive matches that he had, even in the losses, and then the win last week over Roode, left Angle strong. If you didn't follow the spoilers, you may have assumed Lashley would win, but you didn't know for sure because it's like the question was, all right, are they going to try to benefit from Angle's departure, or are they just going to give him a happy send-off and worry about Lashley later? No, I think they did the right thing. I think Angle looked good going out the door, even though Lashley left him lying. And obviously, if Kurt Angle does ever return to TNA, he has built-in programs with Mike Bennett and, of course, Lashley. And so I like this a lot. I'm happy that Lashley came out of this. The only thing I didn't care for was the EC3 just kind of quick stare-down with Lashley. I didn't like that EC3 didn't do anything, that he just was content to look at Lashley. He wasn't angry about this. I know they want to, I'm guessing the idea is to save the physicality between them for another day. I just think you have Lashley leave the ring. He doesn't have to look like a complete coward when EC3 enters the ring, but he can just, as EC3 is getting in, Lashley is getting out. He's not showing fear. He's just kind of leaving, like, my work here is done, and then he's laughing at EC3. You get the same effect without EC3 just kind of looking a little bit dopey, like, okay, you're not pissed, you're not going to do anything, you're just going to look at him, and it's good enough that he leaves. But still, they planted the seed for something coming up with Lashley and EC3, and you do have to wonder, given this, the way this show ended, will that carry over now to EC3's title match with Matt Hardy? Last time it was Spud who interfered and cost EC3 the championship. Will it be Lashley this time? I guess we'll find out on Tuesday. But overall, a good show. I've been trying to keep a running tally of this. I think this is the 11th show of Pop TV, of the Pop TV era, and I have liked, or really liked, 9 of the 11. TNA is doing some good things, and so the numbers have been, as far as viewership, they were going up there for a while, and then they dropped. They finally went up last week, and I'm hoping they did enough of a sales job of Kurt Angle's farewell match that the number goes up this week. They deserve to see some improved numbers because the product has been so much better. It's going to take time because the product was so damn bad and so damn frustrating for so long. But now TNA looks like they have found a creative groove. It's two different tapings now, and I hopefully this next wave of tapings they have coming up next week is going to lead to similar programming in terms of quality, if not even better. But things are going nicely with TNA, and I just keep encouraging people. If you gave up for whatever reason, I don't blame you. Lord knows I wanted to numerous times, but you're missing out right now. Definitely check out TNA. Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett will be by on Thursday and Friday with the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. On one of those shows, they're going to be previewing the WWE Roadblock show, and I will be by on Saturday night with live coverage of that show. That is available to everybody, and then afterward, I will be doing a member-exclusive audio review of WWE Roadblock. And I also want to direct you to the MLW podcast at mlradio.com. I got together with Court Bauer and Conan earlier this week. They were kind enough to have me on. We talked about all sorts of pro wrestling topics, and then I did some whining about the state of rock music, where if you were of a certain age, you're going to be like, what does this old man know? But Check it out. I had a lot of fun getting together with those guys. I had a blast. It's a free show, mlwradio.com. And then, again, a reminder, don't forget Brian Fritz coming up later today on .NET Weekly discussing his interview with Vince McMahon. It should. I'm really looking forward to talking with Brian about that. I'm excited for Brian, longtime friend, very happy that he got this opportunity. And so it should be very interesting to hear what he has to say about just how it all played out. Please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Please rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. It's always appreciated. You are helping spread the word about the podcast. And as I've been reminding people, if you could, when I put it out there, the link for this show out on Twitter, take a second to retweet it. Thank you to everybody who's been doing that. We're just trying to spread the word about this podcast, and many of you are helping with that. And I want you to know it is very much appreciated. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. Take care.